It's a joy to be with you this morning as we continue to look into the Gospel of Matthew. As I have mentioned from the beginning of our study, the theme of chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew is the authority of Jesus. When Matthew was writing about the Sermon on the Mount, he pointed out to his readers that the people who listened to Jesus were astonished with his teaching. That is, you read in chapter 7. And now in chapters 8 and 9, Matthew wants to show his readers that Jesus not only taught as one having authority, but he also did mighty works as one having authority. So with this theme in mind, he puts together in these two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, certain miraculous events that show the authority of Jesus. We have seen his authority over sickness, his authority over nature, his authority over demons, and his authority to forgive sins. And last week, we saw about his authority over death. Last week, we read about two separate dramas that are interlocked. The raising of the daughter of Jairus, who was dead, and the healing of the woman who was suffering from a discharge of blood for 12 long years. So when Jairus, along with Jesus, was on the way to Jairus' house, there is an interruption. And they encounter this woman. So at this point, these two stories get interlocked. The story of Jairus and the story of this woman. Both are stories of a female restored by Jesus. In one, a younger woman, just a girl. And in the other story, a more mature woman. And the word daughter is associated in both these accounts. While the younger woman is Jairus' daughter, the older woman is addressed by Jesus in tenderness as daughter. So at this point, when both the stories interlocked, life has ceased in different ways. In case of the older woman, she was dead to society. While the young girl, the daughter of Jairus, she was dead physically. The miracle in both cases show that Jesus has the authority over death and is able to restore life. We saw that one story last week. So in the time available last week, we couldn't look at both the accounts. We looked at the story of the raising of the daughter of Jairus. And this morning, we are going to look at the story of the woman who was suffering from a discharge of blood for 12 long years. So let us read together verses 18 to 22 of chapter 9. So in case you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 to 22. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. We can also read the this story in the parallel accounts in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. However, Matthew's version of this story is much, much shorter than those of Mark and Luke. While Matthew tells the story in three verses, just three verses, Matthew gives an account only in three verses, Mark devotes 10 verses, while Luke devotes 6 verses to this account. Therefore, to give a better picture, as I have already done while going through the Gospel of Matthew, I will refer to all the Gospel accounts. We will look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the title of my message this morning is, Your Faith Has Made You Well. I don't have any subheadings. I am planning to go through the whole narrative and draw some applications. So before we do that, let's look to God in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for again giving us this time where we as a church can look at your word, open your word, and be taught by your word. Lord, I pray that as we again open your word, our hearts and minds may be open to the truth. I pray, Lord, that you may help me to preach your word accurately. And Lord, I pray for help. I pray for the people who are listening, and I pray that their minds may be focused on the things which are preached here. I pray that you may speak to their hearts. And Lord, unless you do that, Lord, my effort is going to be in vain. And therefore, this morning, again, I commit each and every one of us. Be with us, Lord. Help us to be blessed by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the story begins when, the story of the woman begins when Jairus, the synagogue ruler, begged Jesus to heal his daughter. So Jesus agreed to Jairus' request to go and see his daughter who was dying from some unknown disease. So Jesus goes with Jairus to Jairus' home. And as they are headed home, there is a great crowd which is following them. But as Luke mentions, as this crowd was there, many were trying to get near to Jesus. And in that process, they were pressing against Jesus. The crowd meant no ill. They just wanted to make sure that they were not missing anything. And therefore, when this crowd was going along with Jesus and Jairus, they were pressing against Jesus. In that crowd, there was a woman whose name is not given. Even till the end of the story, we do not have a name. She is an unknown, unnamed woman. And she has a story. And this story will be revealed later on as she falls down before Jesus on her knees and when she is discovered. So we will slowly get to know what her story is. All these three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that this woman had a discharge of blood for 12 long years. It seems reasonable to connect this with her monthly cycle, a condition that normally lasted for 7 days. In her case, the medical condition meant that she had been bleeding every day for 12 long years. And notice the contrast between the two stories, that is the story of Jairus and this woman, and these stories which have been interlocked. For 12 years, there had been laughter and joy and singing in the home of Jairus on account of his beloved daughter. But for the same 12 years, this unnamed woman has been living in suffering. For as long as this little girl has been alive, this woman has been suffering from this disease. So it has been 12 years of exclusion and isolation. If you look at the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, in chapter 15, it declares that such a person having a bleeding was ceremonially unclean. It says anything she sits on, her bed, her clothes, they are all unclean as well. And anyone who touches her, or anyone who touches any of her garments, or a bed, or a furniture, they too become unclean. This means that her husband and maybe her children, if she has a family, could not eat food cooked by her. They could not sit on chairs which she had sat on. They could not even touch her without becoming unclean themselves. She was not allowed to go into the temple, to any of the synagogues, or to any religious place of assembly. She could not go to anyone's house for a meal, and no one could come and visit her also. So she must have isolated herself for 12 long years. Can you imagine how wretched it can be for a person totally isolated for 12 long years? And Mark gives us some more information on this. Mark writes, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. Note the double description, much and many, which heightened the tragic situation. This woman had gone to doctor after doctor with desperation. And that process, she had spent all the money she had. She has bankrupted herself trying to fix her awful condition. But instead of the treatment making her better, Mark writes, her condition grew worse. And Luke in his gospel adds that she could not be healed by anyone. So this woman has been going to doctor after doctor, and it was affecting her. She was not getting better, and no one could heal her. And in the Jewish tradition, oral tradition, they had different remedies that were such for different types of illness. Some of them were primitive medicines, and some of them were utter folly. So these doctors to whom this woman had gone, the doctors would have tried these remedies on her, suggested her all those remedies. But as we see, her condition was becoming worse and worse. So this condition, her condition only illustrates that relying on human expertise and resources separated from God's power often deepens helplessness. So here we see a woman at the end of 12 years, she is at her lowest point. She has seen every doctor. She has spent everything she had. She has attempted every remedy, but she is worse off than ever. Everything that was important to her health, her money, her status in the community, everything was gone. Clearly, the woman's prospect was no better than the daughter of Jairus, who was dying. As I said, she was socially dead. Everything lost, everything lost, everything depressing. 12 long years. A suspicious mammogram, a skewed ECG reading, an ominous call from the doctor's office. Some of us have gone through such experience, right? Our bodies can humble us in many ways. At times when we long for strength, our bodies falter. Pain weighs us down. And pain, and not only weighs us down, it threatens to steal our hope. But even then, when we go through this difficult situation, there is one who never fails, and he invites us to lean on him. And this woman, as we have seen, has been so desperate, gone through such a difficult situation for 12 years. And here Mark writes, she had heard the reports about Jesus. So this money, woman had no money to pay any doctor. And as we see, the doctors had only made her worse. The condition had made her worse. So if we had been in that situation for 12 long years, I think probably we would have given up. Okay, I've been praying for 12 long years. My prayers have not been answered, and probably we may have given up. But this woman was not ready to give up because she had heard of a man named Jesus of Nazareth. And she was determined to go to him. She decided that she would get away from the doctors and all the suggested cures and all their bills, and now she would go to him who is on his way to the house of Jairus. And that is where this woman gets into the picture. Matthew writes, the woman came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Here was a woman who had no reason to trust in any man. Here was a woman who had no reason to trust that any man could heal her. Yet when she saw Jesus, she seemed to believe that if she could touch the fringe of his garment, she would be healed. Strange, isn't it? But this woman, not only she thought like that, then she decides on a very different course of action from Jairus, who prostrated before Jesus in public. As you know that when Jairus came to Jesus, he prostrated before him in public. But this woman thinks of a different course. She wants to be healed privately. She wants to be healed secretly. We don't know why she wanted to be healed secretly, but I think we can speculate. Having lived in a society where women were considered to be second-class citizens or inferior, it would have been easy for a woman to walk up to Jesus in public, and especially in the midst of a crowd which were mostly men. So she would have found it difficult as a woman to come before in public. That could be one of the reasons. In fact, as we see here, she is the first woman who came to Jesus in public. In any case, she may have reason. Why does Jesus need to know about her presence? After all, Jesus can heal without even needing to look at me or even touching me or even speaking to me. So Jesus doesn't have to really know I am there. Then she lived in a society which considered her unclean. She may have thought that if the crowd sees me, then the crowd would be angry because they will know that I am mingling with them and I am making them unclean. Or she may have even thought to herself, maybe Jesus would be angry with me for touching him and making him ceremonially unclean. Because according to the Jewish law, the book of Leviticus, anyone who touched a woman who was unclean would become unclean, and therefore she may have thought, if Jesus touches me, he would also become unclean and therefore he would be angry. So let me just touch his garment without his knowledge. So she was, here we find a woman who was unconsciously selfish. She wanted health, but she did not especially care about the healer. She wanted to be healed. Even if Jesus was going to become ceremonially unclean, she was not concerned. On that day, she wanted to become clean. So as I said before, we don't know why she wanted to be healed secretly. The reason could be a combination of all those things, all those attitudes we have just discussed. we cannot know for sure. Like so many in her day, she believed that sometimes the garments or even the shadow of a godly person could bring healing. Many in those societies, in those days, believed that, okay, if you touch a holy man or if the shadow falls on them, they would be healed. So she sought a sort of a magical cure. She thought that Jesus was so charged with healing power that anyone who touched him would get zapped with health. It is something like when you touch a plug point, there is a shock or something like that. That was the impression she got. Let me touch Jesus, and at the moment I touch him, I will be zapped with health. So it was sort of a faith was an uninformed faith, a superstitious, a presumptuous, and an imperfect faith, but it was a real faith. With whatever faith she had, that sick woman pushed forward through the crowd until she came close to Jesus Christ, and finally she stretched out her hand and touched the fringe of his garment. And then what she did was, she thought she can melt back into the crowd again. So she touched Jesus, and then she thought she is going to disappear. While Matthew is silent about what immediately happened after this, Mark writes, "And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And the disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." And so this woman of faith pushes in unseen, very close, and that too from behind. She reaches out, touches Jesus, and what happens? What happens? Immediately, that is what it says, immediately the flow of blood stops. And she feels in her body that she has been healed of the disease. Yes. Immediately she was healed, and she could feel in her body that she was healed of the disease. After 12 long years of getting weaker and weaker, she is well, she is clean again, and she is whole. The cure that many physicians could not give her was given to her in an instant of time. Here we see the Mosaic law is being reversed. Rather than the Lord Jesus becoming unclean and contaminated by her, she is healed and purified by the holy power that resides in Jesus Christ. Here Jesus shows that he has authority over the law of Moses. In a story, we see the picture of the relief that gospel brings to the troubled hearts. Many people have just felt like this woman with a sickness. They have spent years looking for peace with God, but couldn't find it. Like the suffering woman, they have tried various human solutions. They went from place to place, and sometimes even from church to church, but nothing helped. In fact, they often got worse. They realized that peace is not found in our striving or in any man-made solution. But finally, they found true rest. And where did they find the true rest? In the same place as this woman found. That was in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, they found true rest. The hopes of this woman for a secret healing were dashed when Jesus said, "Who touched my garments?" Jesus knew that his power had been directed to someone for that person's healing. All denied it. When Jesus said, "Who touched my garments?" All denied it. Nobody was saying, "I." No one was raising their hand. So Peter, along with his other disciples, he is saying, "You see the crowd pressing around you. So why do you ask, who touched me?" They even thought that Jesus was being unreasonable. They thought, with such a big crowd, how can anyone say, who touched me? How can they answer this question? But Jesus knew who touched him. As someone said, many pressed around him, but one touched him in faith. The gospel accounts reveal that Jesus possessed supernatural knowledge. Jesus was asking this question, who touched me, for a certain reason? He wanted the woman to reveal herself, not only to him, but also to the crowd, and especially for the sake of Jairus. This woman's heart, when she heard the voice of Jesus, who touched me, her heart was throbbing with joy and fear. Would Jesus take away the healing away from me? Would Jesus take away the cure because I have disobeyed the law? Would Jesus take away this because I had touched him and made him impure? This woman may have wondered all these things in her heart. What would people think of her? If these people know that I, the woman who have been unclean, have been in their midst and I have touched them and I have made them unclean, what would these people think of me? With all those worries, with all this concern, she came to Jesus and told Jesus the whole truth. And that is why we have the whole truth written in this gospel. We have a gospel story because she came and told Jesus what had happened to her. She gave her whole life history. Beloved, let us take this lesson to our hearts. By calling her forth, Jesus announced her healing to the whole world. Jesus announced to the whole world that she was no longer unclean. And in the same way, we must not be afraid to confess Jesus before others or to speak of what he has done for our souls. If his blood has brought us peace and if his spirit has renewed us, let us not keep silent. For if we are ashamed of Jesus now, he has warned that he will be ashamed of us before his Father and his holy angels. May his grace give us enough courage to stand for him. We must not miss the fact that God in his providence had made Jairus a witness to this confession made by this woman. Jairus came to Jesus with a fledgling faith. We saw that last week. Jairus' faith was a fledgling faith. It was the faith of a baby. His faith needed strengthening. He heard the testimony of this woman who was healed. Her faith was also similar to that of Jairus. Her faith was an uninformed faith. Her faith was selfish. Her faith was mixed with misconceptions. But with a genuine yearning and trust, she reached out to Jesus. And she was commended for that by Jesus. So, here we find a woman who had an uninformed faith, a selfish and mixed faith. And here we find another man who had a fledgling, a weak faith, a faith of a baby. And Jesus wanted the confession of this woman to bolster the sagging faith of Jairus. He did. Yes, the confession of that woman bolstered the faith of Jairus. Jairus' belief was enlightened and he was elevated by his confession. Jesus challenged Jairus not merely to believe in him for healing of his daughter, But he also challenged Jairus to believe that his daughter could be raised from the dead. Did Jairus believe in that? Yes, certainly believed in Jairus, believed that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. Or otherwise, he and Jesus and the other disciples would have never returned to his home and entered the room of his daughter who was dead. Otherwise, he would have said to Jesus, "Jesus, it's too late." The confession of the woman that day bolstered the faith of Jairus, and that is one reason Jesus wanted that woman to confess her faith in public. And what is the response of Jesus to that woman? Did he rebuke her? No. Daughter, that is what how we called her. That woman may have been older than Jesus. We do not know. But if you look at the Gospels, it is the only incident in Scripture where Jesus calls someone by the title daughter. So Jesus calls this woman tenderly daughter. Then he tells her something which is of crucial importance. Your faith has made you well. Yeah, that is the title of my message also. He tells that woman, your faith has made you well. This statement needs clarification because a lot of incorrect ideas have crept in because of this misunderstanding of the statement. People have misunderstood in such a way that as if Jesus is saying, you should have faith in your faith. That is how people have started believing this. When Jesus told her that her faith had made her well, he meant to clarify that it was not magic, it was not superstition, but rather faith that was the means of God's blessing coming to her through Christ. Faith is merely the channel, weak though it is, through which God works. But it is Christ, the object of our faith, not our faith itself, that cleanses us. We are not saved by the strength of our faith, but by the strength of the one in whom we believe. Faith by itself is not a savior. It is only the hand that reaches out to take hold of Christ. A trembling hand of a child may receive a rich jewel. A flickering flame may give light in the darkness. In the same way, even a weak and wavering faith, if it clings to Jesus, it will find life, it will find salvation. What matters most is not the measure of our faith, but the object of our faith. Jesus is the solid rock, the unfailing anchor, the mighty fortress who cannot fail. If the smallest seed of faith is planted in him, it will grow because he is faithful and he is powerful to save. Our security does not rest in the strength of our grip, but in the mighty grasp that Jesus has on us. The woman's understanding was flawed. Her faith was imperfect. But she got one thing right. That one thing was the object of her faith. She knew in whom she believed. So when your heart feels weak, when your heart troubles you, when doubts trouble you, when your prayers feel feeble, remember this, Christ is strong. Christ is able. Christ is enough. It is not the weakness of your faith that will destroy you, but the lack of faith that will destroy you. Trust not in the strength of your faith, but trust in the strength of your Savior. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for giving us this testimony of this woman who was healed. We are thankful that her record, this account has been recorded for our reading, for our understanding. And even this day, her account continues to speak to each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, that we as believers may continue to focus our minds, our hearts on the object of our faith by whom we have been saved. Let us not trust in our feeble faith, but I pray, Lord, that we as believers may focus on the object of our faith, who is Jesus Christ. And I again pray for those who have not come to know Jesus in a saving way. Lord, I pray that you may have mercy on them. And they may know that, like this woman who came to Jesus, if they come to Jesus and they put their trust in him, they will also be saved. Lord, you alone can do that for them. And again, I pray and commit them in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.